Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Deslane Spare Time Bowling Show. Only on 105.7 FM. The Fan. See Sparky Fiverr here. Dwight Albrecht, Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. There.
Good morning.
Phil Brilo is actually here, over there from Extra Frame, Flow Bowling, all that fun stuff.
Yes, indeed.
Hanging out here as well in studio. We'll hear Phil's interview. He goes one-on-one with Norm Duke.
Duke.
We all know what happened last week, and he's the one seed for this week. So you'll want to stay tuned to hear that coming up at about 9:30-ish. Or so.
And I got some good info on why Norm maybe got to that point the last 2 weeks that nobody else really knows about. So.
Oh,
yeah.
Insider.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's not get him banned from the sport or anything.
Oh, no,
with
no.
Too inside of an info.
Oh, no. This is not too inside of info.
We don't want it to be Ryan Braun-ish.
This is not Pete Weber-ish, no.
Okay, so I gotta start off here by telling you all something that I found very, very interesting. So as I keep telling you guys each week, every week seemingly I come in here and I got something. And every week I'm amazed by the people that I get tweets from that are concerning bowling. And this week was no different than any other week. So I get a tweet on March 1st. Pretty cool, wouldn't you say? And it is... Duke looking to become just the third player in the history of the PBA Tour to win 40 titles. Mm-hmm. This guy, Andrew, retweeted Flow Bowling and tweeted at me. Okay. I got another tweet from Randy who tweeted at me and says, Atmos Irish Pub and Duke converts a split and I yell, yes. My kids think I'm into this match because we are in the middle of dinner at the time. Okay. Obviously that was on a replay. Dan tweets at Sparky Radio and at the PBA Tour. I watched a complete telecast last night. I can't remember the last time I even did that. Probably during the Mark Roth era was the last time he watched a complete PBA Tour telecast, Dwight. And he watched this entire broadcast now this week. It's really giving you an idea of where we are going with this sport and how it is picking up the pace a little bit here going forward.
Randy Peterson had some absolutely great quotes during the show, of course, which we'll get to in a few minutes when we cover the last week's events. But he did say something on the show about how great bowling and the PBA and the whole Fox deal is. And I couldn't agree anymore. And it's like messages like that that just put a big smile on my face.
Mine too. Every time I get a tweet about bowling, I get excited. Like, hey, looky here.
Yep.
More people getting into bowling that haven't. That dude said he hasn't watched an entire PBA telecast since the Mark Roth era.
Yep.
And he watched this last week's show, the entire thing from start to finish.
Yep. And I just keep thinking Tom Clark is behind home plate, and he just hit a grand slam out of Miller Park.
I told you that when they signed the deal.
Yeah.
Yep. I told you that when they signed the deal. In fact, I called him up, and we did a podcast right away.
Right.
When they signed that deal, it is a game changer for this sport. There is no question about it. Now, you're starting to see it now, and as we've talked about, and you will see it in full, or at least you should see it in full, next year when we see all new sponsorships and stuff like that rolling in
Right. Based
on the numbers you're going to have this year.
Right, and more money for the guys.
No doubt.
Well, right. And last week in Indianapolis, there was a family the whole week there that drove in from St. Louis to spend the entire week at the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
This week in Jonesboro, Arkansas, there was a family that came in from Kansas City, drove in to watch and see the entire tournament. You're starting to see, we're seeing more and more of these where people are traveling to the tournament site to watch in person from out of town, where mostly you just saw before, you know, it's a lot of locals, that kind of thing. No, there's people that are actually making these PBA
it's
events
wonderful.
A destination thing for their family to come and watch because the kids are into bowling and the family support it. And, yeah, it's pretty amazing watching. And these kids were watching the bowling. They weren't playing the game or anything like that. They were out there
watching.
5, 6 years old. They were watching these guys intently.
And wasn't there a story, and you were there when it happened at Castle Lanes when Belwell came down, didn't a little boy drive states?
There's been a few of those, yeah.
That, to meet him?
Yeah.
I remember reading that or seeing that
for
on
Belmonte,
social media.
Yeah.
For Belmonte.
And I'm sure there'll probably be a few people doing that this coming Wednesday. I know Phil will talk about it later on this morning.
Yeah, I showed Baby Tosh a picture of her, and Baby Tosh's like, well, I'll drive and go see her. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Baby Tosh, I had no idea people bowled with two hands. Found that out on the air this week. Yeah, no, people don't bowl with two hands. You're lying. I'm like, no, I'm not. And Brylo's like, dude, it's been going on for a – not Brylo, Butler, Lord Butler's like, dude, it's been going on for a long time. Where you been, Baby Tosh? Oh, come on. Let's just YouTube it. Just YouTube it and you'll figure it out. Okay, let's talk about the Indianapolis Open from last week. All right, first off, let's go to the geek on the show. Dwight. So they put up, and I love this. I thought that telecast last week was about as good as you could get as far as from a, well, outside of the one score fiasco, a little snafu on the screen. Outside of that, I thought it was a very well done show. I thought Lamont was outstanding in that show. Peterson was good too. Everything I thought was really good. So before they start every match, like they always do, they always put up the oil patterns, whatever else. So once again this week, we're going back to what we've seen already once before, and that is two different oil patterns on two different lanes. So first we got the Dick Weber oil pattern, 45 feet of oil in the left lane. The Mike Albee oil pattern, 38 feet on the right lane, which means you're not throwing the same bowling ball, right, on both lanes?
Absolutely not. They showed that throughout the show. Obviously, the two different lines they were playing, the different balls they were using. Only thing I kept thinking about, Phil and Sparky, during the show is all that technical, geeky information that's being given. Boy, if they could just give like that Kegel report, that whenever Kegel comes out with an oil pattern, they show the sheet, you know, either at a proprietor, at a tournament, wherever you walk in. I would love for them to kind of get a little bit more in depth in what they are actually bowling on. They give you, of course, the distance, but I would love to know the volume. I would love to know the ratios of oil, because then I think the average, high average league bowler could compare. Because you got a lot of guys watching like that second match saying, ah, I could do better than them. They shot 170, 160. Well, then you go out there and try that.
And Randy Peterson was saying that during that match, saying, you know, I know what this looks like, but trust me, this isn't a house shot. This is a difficult deal, what they're doing there, Phil.
And he'll transition.
Yeah, and the easiest way to think about that is if you go to PBA.com, they have the oil pairings out there. You look at the Chris Paul, it's a 10-1. They say this is basically your house shot right here. Right. Now, compare all your other ratios when you click on the other patterns to what it has in that Chris Paul, and it's 1.2-1 or 1.4-1 or maybe 2-1 if it's a easy week on the PBA tour. It's out there. You're right. It's not on the TV shows, but maybe if they go, hey, if you want to check out all the oil patterns, go to PBA.com.
Yeah,
and then you can see all that information.
Just to show the viewer at home how tough these guys
listen to me
are bowling on.
I mean, this is great. It really is. And I would say what? Less than 5% of the audience is going to understand all the stuff that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Dude, that's going. But is that worth doing all this extra stuff for if it's going to concern less than 5% of the audience that's watching?
That's where I think steering to PBA.com might be the best thing. It's a time saver. Hey, you want more information?
Boom, you put it up.
Yeah,
baby. I mean, I think if you put it on TV, I don't think a lot of people understand what that even means.
Yeah.
But maybe. I mean, I'm not against educating the fans, so trust me, I'm not against it. But when you're talking about, well, this will make me easy for me to understand my house shot versus what they're bowling on, and then how that affects my bowling ball and where the ball rolls and everything else.
Yeah, or Randy's tip of the week, too. I mean, they take 90 seconds for all that stuff. You know, why instead of like, hey, what does it take to pick a doubles partner like a few weeks ago? Well, no, what does it take to bowl out here and tour?
Right, and this was, this last week was practice or whatever, how you practice.
Right, we're talking about practice.
Talking about practice, yeah. Okay, so the first match, big nasty Wes Mallott against Rhino Page. Wes Mallott lost 30 pounds coming
Looks
out
good.
There. Did he dye his hair too?
I don't think so.
His hair looked lighter to me. Maybe it was just me. Right away, I was like, man, he dyed his hair. Looked a little bit lighter to me. Okay, so that was a story. And you know, they talked about the fact that, you know, that's going to help his knees and everything else as far as him bowling and not being in as much pain.
Well, plus all the weeks of bowling these guys have in a row now, where before it was, okay, I can gut it through a couple of weeks and then take a couple of weeks off and do that. And Wes is a field guy, so Wes needs the weeks and weeks of repetition in order to be at the top of his game. I mean, the guy sights at the foul line. The guy's a field player. And, you know, without having that extra weight off, he would have just beaten himself up.
Yeah, no doubt.
For after 3 weeks, he could have been in trouble for this whole first swing of the tour.
And away we go. 2-8-10 split in the first for Malott in that match. He gets a couple of pins. Rebounds of the strike on the left lane. Page way left there in the second for a 1-3-10 split. Gets the 1 and the 3 split. Then Malott finds his zone, throws 5 in a row into the 6th. Got a late messenger on the 10th there in the 6th. Makes it 7 in a row into the 8th, and it was pretty much curtains. Wes Malott just got into a little bit of a zone there, and he wins 242 to 192.
Yeah, he did balk on one of the shots, and throughout the entire
everybody
show.
Everybody was having problems with distractions throughout the show.
Right, that's what I was just going to be bringing up to Phil is obviously Randy talked about a lot of crowd movement, a lot of coughing, a lot of sneezing. I saw Duke blowing his nose several times throughout his matches. I'm assuming that he was fighting off a cold or something, but you know, I always look at it as when I was on Boy with the Champs, and I realized that it was just a local TV show. But I was so nervous that I had almost like a buzz going through my ears throughout the whole three games that and someone could have been screaming, but I was so nervous that I just ignored anything that was going on in the crowd.
Well, Bill O'Neill talked about in the Flow Bowling booth while we were in Indy, because there was a bunch of instances where guys were balking during match play. It's just like they need something where the crowd doesn't have to stay silent.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah, and Bill O'Neill, as soon as that happened to Wes, he got on Twitter, and O'Neill got on Twitter and said, this needs to stop. Where somebody gets has a cough or sneeze, and all of a sudden, every eye in the crowd is on that
noise
person.
Again.
Yeah. Yep. And so I know Bill O'Neill, and he was instantly on Twitter with that, and then the fans started chiming in on it and talking about league night and stuff like that. It's like, guys, you don't get it. It's not league night. This is the PBA tour. This, you know, they need to do something to keep it where you don't have to have dead silence for these guys to function and perform.
I always use the analogy
background
of
music or something.
Yeah. I always use the analogy of cotton in the ears and then blinders on the eyes. Type of deal. I mean, it's going to happen, and but
why not just have them cheer from the time they're on the
approach?
Well,
they tried that for a few years.
I know they did, but that would eliminate this issue, wouldn't it?
Well, even if it's just fans having casual, you know, if you can have a casual conversation in the crowd, there's going to be fans talking. If you get a few of them talking, it's going to keep down a, you know, a sneeze or a cough or something like that.
Right.
It's not going to blend in as much. But everybody's just sitting there dead silence. There's got to be some way around it, and I'm sure they're thinking. I'm sure Tom Clark's got the wheels turning.
But that is because of them. They are the ones that ask for silence. Right. They are the ones that have you turn off your phones and everything else. Yep. And like you said, they tried it the other way. I don't know why they changed back to the way we're back to the old school way now of doing things. Because this is how it was back when Holman and Weber and those guys all bowled too.
It was, I think, the years of the gold pins and Mark Rubridge.
But,
You know, and they invited the fans to get into it.
Yep.
On every frame and every shot.
And that's fine. And Bill O'Neill noted that, when we're in Portland, it's that kind of atmosphere, but there's always people talking in the crowd, and it's a constant noise. It's not that one spike in the noise that throws these guys off. And when it's as little as a cough or a sneeze, then there's problems.
Well, Norm Duke almost killed himself, so we'll get to that later. Okay, so Wes Malott just in. Locked in, 242-192 over Rhino Page. Next up, Tom Dort. Not only is Tom Doherty on, but then Tommy Jones is in the booth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's been in the booth before. Dude, just don't do it again. Please, can we stop with this Tommy Jones in the booth stuff? This is what I'll say about Tommy Jones. I think Tommy Jones' information is outstanding.
Right.
Like, his analysis of, like, the emotions of Doherty, you know, if he can get through the first few frames, I think he'll be okay. And just at, like the information, beautiful.
Yes.
The voice,
the delivery,
and the monotone of how he talks. Oh my God. Stop.
A little coaching.
Just stop. Put somebody else in there. Put Bill O'Neill in there. Chris Barnes is really good. Yeah. Bill O'Neill, I'm fine with that. Rotate it through. Put EJ Tackett in there. I don't care who you put in there. We've heard this before.
Yeah.
It's with all due respect, he's just not a guy that should be on TV. That's not his deal. He's a bowler.
See, we had Tommy and Stu in the Flow Bowling booth on match play Thursday night in Indianapolis, and Tommy and Stu did a great job together. Tommy gets somebody to play off of. He's really good. Problem is that
he's got two guys in that booth.
I don't think either one of them can play off of him really well. I don't think Dave Lamont
was
playing off of him really well.
Just,
I know I know Randy was, you could tell from Randy, you pick up the bleed on the microphone. Randy's yes. hollering, something's wrong, or this score is wrong,
right.
or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, I heard that too.
You know, he picked up yeah. the bleed off of Tommy's microphone, and Randy's trying to keep an eye on everything else, and then he's got to deal with one other guy in the booth. You tell it was
too much
frustrating for Randy. Yeah.
Again,
I read that all.
No knock on Tommy Jones. All I'm saying is you're not a TV dude.
Right.
They need to know you're not a TV dude, and let's move on. If you want to do the full bowling stuff
yeah,
with Phil, go right ahead and knock yourself out. Hell, I've been on Extra Frame before. They put anybody on. But all I'm saying is when you do, that was a joke at me, not at them. But for me, it is simply about the entertainment factor.
Yep.
There's got to be other bowlers on tour that can provide similar type of knowledge with some type of entertainment value. Because
was some of the language that he used, and even Dave Lamont had to say, well, what do you mean by that?
Right, yeah. And that is where I thought Dave Lamont was great. Like, in this match, talking about they were adjusting tape in the ball, and he was asking the questions about, you know, why are bowlers got tape in the ball? What's going on? Brilliant. Loved it. Then it was Doherty making a comment in this match about, boy, I wish I could throw the same ball on the left lane as I throw on the right lane, right? So then he brought that up, and Lamont was all over it, asking Peterson, so why won't the urethane ball work on the left, but it's working so well on the right? I guarantee you Dave Lamont knows, but this is the job. When you are doing a radio show and you've got guys that know, you may know, but it's better to ask them and let them tell people. I've done it for years with Leroy and Gary doing football stuff, or if I'm doing the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, which I'll be doing coming up on Wednesday night from Fuel Cafe from 6 to 7, talking Bucks basketball with Steve Novak, filling in for Bill Michaels. But that is what he should be doing, and I thought he did a really good job of that because of it. And again, for you, you're like, dude, this is so stupid. I know all of this stuff. True, but a lot of people listening may not.
I had no idea what he meant by throwing it in the trash.
Right.
I'm glad that he clarified that. That's the first time I ever heard that.
Yep. So I thought Lamont was really good. Okay, match number two. Doherty, 2-8-10 split in the first, but don't worry. Just stay tuned. He gets a couple of pins. Wes Mulock crosses over the 8-count spare in the first on the right lane. I'm not going to go through all of this, but this, to me, here with Mulock, he looked like you talk about transition between one match to the next match.
Yeah, ugly.
He went from being completely locked in, Phil, to just lost it.
Well, once again,
it was ugly.
You know, Tom gets some practice balls coming out of the pair. Wes tries to make the adjustments. Yeah, and all of a sudden, here's Wes dealing with urethane on that right lane. And it doesn't take much with the volume that was in those pairs. There was more volume in the short pattern last week than there was in the long pattern. So it doesn't take much for urethane to change that pattern around for Wes. And next you know, he's searching for a couple of shots. But by the time I got to the end of the match, he definitely got himself straightened out, no doubt about it.
It was the first time all year, the course, that I saw both players completely lost. But did you also see during that match how many times they either looked at their tour rep or walked over to their tour rep? It was almost every frame.
Yeah.
So you don't think those guys need those guys?
Oh, they do.
I think for Wes, to a point, it's more of the psychological end of things. Like, he thought he was throwing it good. You know, he even said that. He left the 4-6 in the third frame, and I thought it was great. And he had an open frame on it, and it's just more of...
Completely confused.
Are you seeing the same thing I'm thinking? I think more it is for Wes, because he's just such a feel guy.
Right.
So, as we fast forward here, Doherty gets a strike in the fourth and the fifth. Mulock, 6-count, right lane in the fifth, only gets 3 of them. Then a big 5-count spare in the sixth for Wes Mulock. I think, looking back at this match, that's probably right there. Was a big deal to him, because I think maybe it picks up some momentum for him a little bit, because then that was in the sixth. Then they take the TV timeout. Now they have the conversation, him and Tim Mack, and they decide to make a ball change in the timeout. He then strikes in the seventh to go down 7. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's good. But you got to switch lanes. And then he throws a 3-6-7-10 in the eighth and gets 3 pins. And again, you're thinking to yourself, boy, oh boy, I thought he was okay, and now here we go again. Doherty, 8-count in the eighth spare, up 18. That was Doherty's first spare of the match, Phil, in the eighth frame.
You know, when you're leaving pins plenty far apart, it's not easy to always pick them up.
And they both were.
Yeah.
The whole game. Doherty leaves a 10 in the ninth spare. Wes Mulock strikes in the ninth. and then strikes out in the 10th. Last ball was a urethane ball, and he just threw it hard and straight. Right. And still carried it. What did he need? An 8 count or seven count, something like that?
To force a double out of
Doherty. Yeah. Yep. Right. And then Doherty leaves a solid 10 ball on the first ball in the 10th. Wes Mallott wins with a huge score of 174 to 170. It was ugly.
It's a stinker.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many fans stuck with it or got bored by it and turned it off one way or the other. I don't know how that all plays out, but that's something you can't control.
Yeah, it can happen.
I think with it not being a blowout, I think probably kept the fans around, because I'll say, hey, these guys, you know, somebody's gonna have to double, you know, strike or double in the 10th to win. You know, that always helps too when it's that, you know, 250 to 170 blowout. That's why they got rid of out of the West Rhino match early, because that was done. And
yes,
they showed Wes's first shot in the 9th frame.
That was it. Move
out. Yeah.
Yep. And that's what they should have done. Yep. He's Phil Brilo. He is Dwight Albrecht over at the Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. Any fun stuff going on by you this week?
Well, yes, we got a very busy weekend. Got to get a quick shout out to our high school state is going on right now in Schwabenland, and one of the teams I drill for, the Oak Creek guys that were in here, they are in second place going into the TV finals. So the worst they can do is third place. So we wish them good luck. I guess they set a school record for their qualifying round. So we wish them the best today, as the TV finals are today up in Green Bay.
And you can, Jeff Riegel sent me a thing. You watch the stepladder of state high school singles as well on YouTube.
Correct.
Right? I mean, that's a pretty cool thing, and it's something you want to check out online if you're interested in watching that this morning online. Phil Brilo, anything new and exciting for you? You get to stay home this week?
Just a week in R&R before we start the biggest event of the PBA Tour in 2019. World Series of Bowling starts a week from Tuesday. So I'm just...
And it's not taped?
They're all going to be live, from the Monday the 18th through Thursday the 21st, every night, Fox Sports 1, the three pattern championships, and the PBA World Championship on Thursday the 21st, and the USA versus the World competition taped for the 22nd. So five straight nights of bowling on Fox Sports 1.
And it's live.
Four of the five are live. The USA versus the World, they're taping Thursday night.
Jeez.
So
this is great.
Much, much different than every other year we've done this show. Yep. It's just totally different. All right, coming up next, it's match number 3. Norm Duke has entered the building. What that means for the Big Nasty, stay tuned. Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show coming up. Phil Brilo goes one-on-one with the champ, Norm Duke. That'll be coming up in the next segment, and then we'll check in with Phil Anko from Castle Lanes coming up in the last segment. He has a PWBA star coming up. Did I say that right?
Yep, PWBA, yep.
Yeah, good. Star coming to Castle Lanes this week. You want to stay tuned to find out who that is, to make sure you're down there. Get a picture with her, get her autograph, whatever the case may be. Just check Twitter. Lucas Wiseman is tweeting at us that he is listening. Of course, the senior editor of Flow Bowling for Flow Sports, so appreciate him. I actually bowled in the league with him back in the day. He was in the West Ronnie and Alley League with us.
Yes, he was.
Remember that?
I do very much.
Yeah.
I remember how competitive you were too, Sparky.
Yeah.
You and the boys.
Yeah, us, yeah. I mean, not with
and
Lucas.
And the trash talking.
Not really with Lucas, really. Just like bulking
no,
at you.
No, just with me. Right.
Right. Fun league. He gets so mad. Bart Winkler from Chuck and Winkler. He's listening as well. He tweeted, "I never watched pro bowling, but I do like listening to this show. Tuned in." Well, thanks, Bart. I don't know if he's lying or not, but thanks for listening. Okay, so let's get to match number 3 here and talk about some of the fun stuff. It was very apparent from the word jump. And this one, Phil, that Norm Duke was a fan favorite in this match before this match even started.
Yeah, absolutely. Fans were behind him all week in Indianapolis. And, you know, the nostalgia feel that you get with somebody of Norm's age and stature.
Yeah.
It's easy for people to get on board with wanting him to be the guy to take out the trophy when the tournament's done.
They knew how much was on the line.
Tearing up in every interview did before the first, before he even bowled. I mean, you could just tell in his eyes, like, it would. Well, we'll get to this later. All right, so Wes Mallott leads a 3-10 in the first, picks up a single pin. Duke picks up a 10-pin in the first, then leaves a 2-5 and chops it for a 9 count. Mallott then strikes in the second, leaves a 2-4 on the left lane in the third spare. Duke doubles up in the fourth. Mallott leaves a 10-pin in the fourth, picks that up down 9. Mallott comes back, strikes in the fifth, and I write down noise in the building leading to distractions. At that point,
you
and it was happening through the entire TV show. Duke then turkeys in the fifth. I write down, seems locked in. Then he leaves a 10-pin in the sixth. Spare. Malott doubles in the sixth. Down eight. I'm telling you, at this point, I didn't know who was going to win. Because Malott seemed to have figured out the issues that he had the previous match.
Yep.
Duke looked like he was as focused as they come at this point.
Right.
And so you figured it was gonna come down to the end. Malott then leaves a 2-8 in the seventh. Picks that up for the spare. Duke strikes in the seventh. 9-pin count in the eighth. Spare. Malott 10-pin in the eighth. Spare down only 11. Then he comes back, strikes in the ninth. Duke leaves a 9-pin. Dude, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
The ball rolled right past that pin.
Harsh reality, sometime on those shorter patterns, your angles that you're playing lets that ball get that strong roll through the 1-3, and it goes right past the 9.
And remember, he's still, at his age and his build, is one of the few guys throwing 16-pound weight.
Yeah, and they pointed out, Randy Peterson, something like, he hauled 4,000 pounds during the week with all his bowling balls or whatever else.
6,
whatever. What? Okay, fine. But, yeah, I don't understand.
Right.
I mean, 16 pounds. And to be physically.
And he's just a little guy.
Does he have any physical ailments? Like, I haven't heard anything on that dude with physical ailments.
Well, he's had tendonitis, golf elbow, foot problems. He talks about it a little bit in the interview later on. So,
okay,
yeah,
so stay tuned for that. Phil Bradley goes one-on-one with Norm Duke. So he leaves a 9-pin in the ninth, gets a spare. Duke then gets late help on a 10-pin from the 6-pin in the gutter for a strike on his first ball in the 10th. The strike on the second ball, Duke leaves a solid 10-pin on the third ball. Well, at least 10-pin on the first ball, it's over. Yep. Duke wins 214 to 195, a much more entertaining match than the previous one.
The thing that I was so amazed with watching that match, and the kids listening at home, you want to be aspirations of being a pro bowler. Not only did they show Norm's Duke ball going over the mark, they had it to like the 10th of an inch.
Yep.
So it was like 6.3, 6.4, 6.2.
Now here's something for you. I'm going to see, how many times did you notice Norm play with his tape during the match?
Right.
Against how many times did he
do it? With
the
cork. They brought that up that he uses the cork. Yeah. And it's feel thing.
But how many times did you see it?
A lot. So is that the gamemanship, or was he having problems with his hand fluctuating?
No, he actually didn't do it a lot in that match.
Okay.
Because what they haven't been to.
It was Belmo's match.
Yeah. And a little bit with that, too, is, you know, when you're using two different balls and two different patterns and you're Norm, you're trying to get that thumb hole right every time.
Correct.
Okay. So you're dealing with two different pieces of cork, so that. So his ball rep, Cecil Scarborough from Vice, finally convinced him to go to an interchangeable thumb in Indianapolis.
Really?
So, yes. This is the info I told you that nobody else has. So they finally decided, they talked it over. Norm was having to go back and forth between bowling balls all the time on these dual parent events. Just wasn't getting the feel and everything. So when you only have to deal with one thumb hole going back and forth between the bowling balls, because you can switch them out because they put them in that IT thumb system.
Yeah, IT.
And it takes a lot less. Norm doesn't have to worry about the feel and fidgeting and all, and he can focus more on task at hand.
Well, I heard him publicly thank Cecil at the end of the show when, you know, he was holding the trophy, but I didn't know, obviously, what that was for.
And that's the reason why, is that they finally convinced Norm to get an interchangeable thumb, and if you look at what he stayed with it, look at what he did this week in Jonesboro, where he's the number one seed, where you're going back and forth between these different bowling balls from lane to lane.
Oh, feels everything.
And you don't have, and especially if you're Norm, and if you don't have to goof around with, oh, I got to get the cork here and this here, all of a sudden that's one less thing Norm has to worry about, and he can just sit there and focus on task at hand. Knocking the ball, you know, taking the pins down at the end of the lane.
I think it was the last year the Masters in town. I think it would have been 2008, and he came in for a celebrity match at Bolero and asked the crowd a trivia question of who were the three pros were that shot 300. And of course, yours truly here got it right. Threw my hand up in the air and nailed all three right away. And he who else would know that, right?
Right.
And he looks at me and he goes to the crowd. He goes, "Is he right? Is he right?" I think I won a T-shirt, and of course, gave it to my daughter.
Yeah.
Then he went into the back game room area and then started signing autographs. So the guy I was with, who was on our couples league, we went down and looked at the bowling ball that Norm was using, and I put my thumb in his thumb hole, and in the tape and the cork type of feel, I looked at the guy I was with him like, I don't know if I could ever get used to that feel.
Yeah.
So it's quite unique how he has his thumb holes with the cork and the tape.
Yeah, but it's neat now where instead of having to goof around with that, switching from pattern to pattern, just switch out the thumb
insert.
You know, that could help, you know, league bowlers that come into your shop. If you're going through two or three bowling balls a night,
yeah, Turbo Switch. Turbo has their version of it called the Switch Grip. Vice has IT. They're both fantastic, especially if you own a lot of equipment, because then every ball you have, the thumb feels the same.
Yep, that makes sense to me. Okay, let's get to the championship now match.
Everyone wanted to see.
Duke and Belmonte. Here we go. Get ready. Just loved it. And Phil Brilo said Norm Duke was going to win this thing last week, so Brilo deserves credit for that for sure. He called Duke on the win because of his success that he's had previously at Woodland Bowl. Yeah. So Duke starts out in the left lane with a strike. Belmonte, dude, he threw that ball. That first ball in the right lane, the way that ball just went out and like snapped all the way back.
Unbelievable.
I was like, oh, buddy, that is crazy.
What do you think that entry angle was, Phil?
And he did that for 42 games instead of Woodland Bowl and forgot the TV, because those angles were pretty much similar for what he was using.
That was stupid. I was like, never in my wildest dreams could I do that. 10-pin in the second frame, spare. Duke Turkey in the third. And I write down Belmonte's in trouble, because it just seemed like, and they were pointing it out, Belmonte's got to figure this out. Duke knows what the oil is like and knows what he's dealing with right now, and Belmonte doesn't. And that's a huge advantage when you're that bowler coming into that match with Belmonte having just got some warm-up balls along the way.
Lamont said it best. It's going to be two heavyweights throwing uppercuts at each other throughout the whole match.
Yep. And then I write Belmonte doubles in the fourth, and then I wrote, maybe not in trouble after all. Ha, ha, ha.
No.
Then I Duke high in the fourth, 4-9 split. And it had, if I wrote this down right, I believe the conversion rating on the tour is 19.6% on that split. He picks it up 8. When he picked it up, I'm going, maybe it's going to be his day.
That was it. I thought he was over right there. As soon as he made that and he had that momentum shift right back in his lap, nobody was touching Duke.
Because the emotion was on at that point. Duke strikes in the fifth on a mixer shot. Belmonte Turkey in the fifth. 9 count in the sixth. Spare. Duke doubles up in the sixth to go up 9. Turkey in the seventh. Belmonte strikes in the seventh. And then comes the story. Then comes the story on TV of Norm Duke being asked, who is the greatest of all time? We just had this conversation last week on the Castleland Spare Time Bowling Show. And the man said, Jason Belmonte is the greatest of all time. Case closed. Right. Okay, so moving on. Jason Belmonte, I'm not even going to let them react to that. Nope. Jason Belmonte leads a 10-pin in the eighth, gets the spare, and he was a little shocked by that. Because I think, if I remember correctly, on that shot was the one where even Peterson says, normally that gets taken out. If you're Jason Belmonte, right. You just sat there and could not believe that 10-pin was still looking at him. Duke leaves an 8-pin in the 8th, spare, and then tiptoes down the foul line and almost kills himself. Because that, I don't know how he did it. I mean, everybody kept talking about his age. Well, forget his age. I'm 10 years younger than him. I'm not sure I could have kept my balance.
Well, as soon as it happened, I'm like, oh, he can't foul on the other lane.
Right,
because if he fouls on the other lane, it still counts.
Right. Yeah. Have you ever had that happen like that?
No.
Where you had to tiptoe all the way down the line?
No, but the only thing that happened to me before my hips had my hips replaced, I fell at state tournament onto the lane. But while I was falling, I had the presence not to let the ball go, which happened this week at Jonesboro. And so as I'm falling and I end up by about the dots on the lane, I had a ball still in my hand, so I did my version of the Machuga flop.
Ooh.
But that's the closest I got to Duke tiptoeing to the right.
You, Phil?
No.
I've stepped off, but
never 8 steps to my right.
Yeah, tiptoeing all the way down. That was pretty impressive, I got to say. Okay, so then Duke strikes again in the 9th. Belmonte strikes in the 9th, then goes high, leaves a 3-10 split. First ball of the 10th, picks it up, strikes last ball of the 10th for 219. Duke needs 7 pins to win, just throws it kind of down the middle, gets 8 on the first ball. He wins, 39th win of his career, 237 to 219. And then what I thought was awesome was the camera was on him. Duke had the presence of mind to literally talk to anybody he wanted to for the entire time the camera was on him before the Kimberly Presser interview ever even happened. Then he walks over to the crowd and gives him the damn trophy to pass around.
Exactly. That's what I put in my notes.
Last year in Kokomo, he won a PBA 50 event, and there was a young man there. I believe he had cerebral palsy, big Norm Duke fan. Norm let him keep the trophy. Like, literally gave him the box, the trophy was in, everything like that, and said, this is for you for cheering me on all week.
That's awesome.
This is one of the cooler things I've ever seen out on tour.
That was awesome. And then you saw people taking selfies.
That's why they love him.
Right, you saw people taking selfies with the trophy.
The trophy. Yep.
How cool is that? Yeah. That would have been awesome. Brilliant. I would have loved that.
It's brilliant.
Yes, I absolutely would have absolutely loved that.
Yeah.
And then again, you saw that emotional Norm Duke afterwards. And I loved when she said, you know, did you think he would ever get back here? He's like, well, of course.
Yeah.
I need to be back here. Let's not get over dramatic about what's going on here. But I'm just, I mean, and he pointed out, I beat Jason Belmonte. That's a pretty cool thing nowadays.
But the call of the show, though, was when he made that 4-9 by Randy Peterson.
Yeah.
Hey, if you don't like this, you don't like Boeing.
Right.
Change the channel.
Change the channel. Right. Yeah. No, that was a great call by Peterson. It's going to be fun now to see what happens this week because he is number one this afternoon. In Jonesboro. Now, remember, there were a number of bowlers that didn't go to this, right? No Belmonte, no Kyle True. Anybody else not in play for this one?
Just the only one really off the top of my head was Pete Weber with a back injury, but Pete hasn't been competitive all season long. Yeah.
Right. So those three were the ones that weren't there. So for those of you looking for Jason Belmonte on Where Wars Belmonte, well, he wasn't there. He took the week off, which is fine when you're dominant as he has been and leading the standings by quite a bit. Coming up next, Norm Duke sits down and talks with Phil Brilo earlier this week. We'll see what he had to say up next on the Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show here on The Fan. That's the Late Spare Time Bowling Show, only on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Phil Brilo over there. And I got to tell you something. We were sitting here talking in the break a little bit. And when we sit here and we talk about the PBA Tour and where it's going forward, and how you take the next step, I don't know what it takes to do this necessarily, but they've got to figure out a way now to figure out how in the world do you get it to be a situation where you get more publicity on some of these talking head shows. Like, how do you get yourself there? You know what I mean? I think that has to be the next thing that they have to figure out. How do you get yourself on some of these talking head shows one way or the other? And I don't know how you do it, whether it's PTI. You know, we've seen the Jason Belmonte thing. That was Pete Weber. What was that? 7 years ago, the anniversary was this week.
Right.
With his famous quote. And that blew up across all the talking head shows. And we really haven't seen anything like it since.
I think if somebody would have won the $1 million, if they would have had a 300 game on TV in the championship match these last 3 weeks, that would have helped.
Yeah, would have won the million. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
that
absolutely.
That would have been huge. I wanted Kimberly to ask the question first thing, if Jason would have won in Indianapolis. Hey, great, you won the title, but for the third week in a row, you blew $1 million. How does that feel, Jason?
You just want to poke at that dude. See, somebody that doesn't like Jason Belmonte. Everybody. Horrible. Horrible. Trying to pimp him. Thank God he likes Norm Duke. This is how it went earlier this week.
Phil Brilo here for the Spare Time Bowling Radio Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. With me, the champion from last week, the Go Bowling Indianapolis Open, Norm Duke. Norm, coming into 2019, a lot of people didn't know that you were fighting an injury bug. What was ailing you coming into 2019 physically?
Yeah, I developed golfer's elbow from working a ball out on the senior tour. At that time, I had an injury with my right calf. I injured that while I was testing new bowling shoes, trying to figure out what I'm going to do going forward, because I'd been using Japanese bowling shoes for 30 years. They don't make them anymore. And it was time. The Dexter group, the Storm group, they've both been trying to help me find something that I'm comfortable with. In testing them, I pinged my right calf, so I took some couple days off working a ball out. Now golfer's elbow, and there's no cure. So I've done everything with the diet that they say. I've done everything. When I say everything, I go to physical therapy 3 days a week. I didn't bowl or golf or play or work out with it, anything, for 8 solid weeks. I came out on the tour, and it was still a lingering injury. And then Wes and I got to bowl the doubles together. I didn't even tell him, Phil, about the injury. I was so nervous about not even being able to compete or finish. But I said, look, this may be my last chance to bowl with a big man. I'm not even going to tell him. And I didn't. But it kept getting better and kept getting better. So after a couple of weeks, I was good enough to go. I knew I wasn't putting him in jeopardy. And it has. It has improved every single day just a little bit. So I'm really happy about that. The shoes are now back in check. They're not the perfect things, but they're certainly better than anything I've tested before. So look, it's not a surprise to me that I can start bowling good again now. But you have to be comfortable. You can't beat these kids out here unless you're comfortable, Phil. You know that.
So 2019, a solid season, nothing spectacular. You were taking home some checks. You had some close calls and some events from missing cuts as well. But then Woodland Bowl in Indianapolis, and nobody has won more inside that building the last 15 years but you. What did it feel like in the beginning of the week walking into Woodland Bowl, thinking to yourself, this could be the week? Did you even have that thought?
I never even thought about it because I bowled a senior major last year in that building, and I thought, no, this is my house. I finished eighth. They ran over me. And I said, look, man, you're only as good as your last game. You're only as good as your performance. You're not coming in relying on a facility or a venue in order to enjoy success. So I went in there just as unconfident as you could be because I just missed back-to-back cuts in the 10th frame. I had been really, really working hard for something that maybe I can contend with, and I hadn't yet. But then once you get it going and you familiarize yourself with the huge, huge facility there is Woodlawn, and I know it back and forth. So once I kind of got comfortable, I knew. I said, wait a minute, you got a little shot here because you know how to play this place, low end, high end, to mid lane, and you got two different patterns. It's going to confuse the field. It's going to make them tire. It's going to make them fry. So keep your head, keep your gumption, and let's go contend. And boy, lo and behold, I got a shot on TV, you know. And oh man, I tell you what, when I made that show, to me it felt like I had just won the national championship. You know, it was just huge. But then the show comes, and you still got work to do, and I'm bowling the big man. I don't know how I got Valium, but I'm sure happy that it worked out the way it did, Phil.
And you get to the championship match against Belmo, hottest bowler on the planet, greatest bowler out there right now. You get the good start, and all of a sudden that 4-9 pops up and stops the momentum. And converting that 4-9, that was the entire tide changer of that match. What was going through your mind between leaving it and making it?
Yeah, just like you said, a tide changer, because I had the tide prior to. And, man, that 4-9 shot, that first ball, I just knew it was cha-ching. And now I'm looking at a 4-9, I'm thinking, oh, my God, that's all this boy needs is just a little bit of a sniff. He strikes out. That's just the way it is. But then sparing it takes that momentum back, and it kind of robs him of the ability to collect pins on the bench. I know probably everyone that was watching that event knew that that was just a key moment, as was the solid eight. A few frames later, you can't do things like that against Belmo normally. We've just been conditioned to believe that he's going to strike out every game. And so I just said, look, try not to let it bother you, and let's hope you have a shot in the 10th frame. And that was my bad lane. If I had to have made a shot in the 10th, I don't know whether I could have got it done. Thank you, Belmo, for just not making me do it.
And then, of course, you get the championship trophy, you take it into the crowd, the crowd's passing along, you're getting a great reaction from the fans in the building, and then you get outside the building, and then what did you think the first time you saw some of those posts coming up on social media? What was going through your mind after you had the title and all of a sudden you're going through social media?
Well, I didn't really do that. I got in the car, and Rhino and I started driving to Columbus, where I'd changed my flight and I was going to fly here. And then he made mention about 2 hours into the flight, into the drive, he said, Norm, this social media is just blowing up. And I said, oh, cool, I hope it's all good, you know, what the heck. I think of myself as an old-timer, and maybe people are saying to me, like Tom Brady, you know, get the guy out of here, pull the rope. wow, I got to Columbus and pulled up some of that, and I just I teared up, and then I cried, and I teared up, and I cried, and then I figured that this was the greatest response from the bowling community that I could ever have asked for. I cannot even believe that the bowling community looked at me that way or appreciated it that much. And Rhino said to me, he said, Norm, as a younger pro, we appreciate it. We want you to know. And he was one of those that just said it in person. We appreciate it. And thank you. Thank you very much to the world of bowling. I'll never forget it.
And the rate you're off to the start here in Jonesboro, maybe we'll make it 2 weeks in a row. We'll find out on the Sunday. We'll find out when we get to Sunday after our radio show here. Norm, thanks for taking a few minutes with us, and best of luck on not just the Go Bowling Tour in 2019, but the PBA 50 Tour as well when that starts in April.
Thank you, Phil Brilo. Nice to be on your radio show. I appreciate it.
That's the Late Spare Time Bowling Show. I'm going to go over the top of the hour because we're late like always. Phil Onko joins us now from Castle Lanes on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from somewhere in Florida. Phil, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, you guys.
We won't talk about the picture you sent me yesterday. So, Phil, tell us, you got another special guest in-house at Castle Lanes coming up this week.
Yeah, we're real honored. We've got Daria Payak from Lake Wales, Florida, and she was the 2017 Amateur Female Bowler of the Year on the tour, and we were approached by 900 Global, and probably our biggest, it was a pretty big, it'll be an honor to have her there, but what I was told by them is she said, I've got to see this Castle Lane. So I know she's doing the swing tour. They approached us, and we're going to really show her the red carpet on this Wednesday at 7 o'clock until 8:30.
That's awesome. So she wanted to see your place.
That's what I was told.
That is amazing. So, I mean, and, you know, you go back to the Belmonte appearance and the tweet that he put out, the ceiling and all that other stuff. I'm sure that got a lot of publicity for you guys too. I still want a PBA stop at Castle Lanes, dude. I just think that mm-hmm. would be awesome, Phil. Awesome.
It'd be great. I mean, I had an informal talk with Tom Clark when he was watching our match game tournament that we had at Castle. You know, he said quite a bit of sponsorship, but he thought that we'd have a real intimate, nice place for something like that. And I think I agree with that. So
we
have Lenny Borsch, too.
And you have Lenny Borsch, right, in-house PBA 50 vet running your pro shop down there. But don't you think those PBA guys would just dig that place? Oh, is there anything
absolutely.
Like that on tour?
Not particularly, especially now with the lounge area
right.
and all that there. Yeah, it's a pretty awesome place. I mean, we've had it in 24-lane centers before, wherever we're in Shawnee, Oklahoma.
Sure.
The Rothoma Doubles in Oklahoma. That's a 24-lane center, so we know the PBA can get in there and work the event inside a center that size.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, what's up, Dwight?
The other thing, too, is for the viewership. I just love Phil's concourse. You can see the whole side of the house
yep.
from the concourse, which is great for the fans.
Yeah, no doubt about that, too. Hey, Phil, how's bowling been at Castle Lanes through league play and so forth? Have you seen an uptick in league play? How are things going?
Bowling has been great, and it links into what you guys show had said. I think it's so important with the PBA on Fox. I've even kind of Facebooked Tom Clark on that. Literally, when they had the celebrity Super Bowl weekend shootout on TV, I signed up two fall winter leagues through Facebook. I was getting private messages while that show was on. And it's just such an important thing for bowling. I have had inquiries during the program while I'm on the computer. I always got my computer watching the live telecast on TV. It's been great. So
you know, the other thing too, Phil, is are you showing the telecast at your house when they're live or when they're being replayed at night or whatever the case may be?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Without doubt.
See, and I think that's just huge.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just awesome for bowling. Like I said, I call it like the Texas Hold'em syndrome. I mean, when Texas Hold'em got on TV and it wasn't as exposed as this, that's all everybody wanted to do. And now that it's moved away from, you know, ESPN competing with the NFL and its live event, I am literally getting contacted during those shows hey, do you have any league openings for next year? That is not a, like I said to Tom, I have the proof to show during those shows where I'm communicating people, it's spurring people.
Yep.
So they're watching it. You know, I think I'd like to bowl. That's the honest God's truth. So it's been awesome.
I just love it. And if people do want to bowl, you've got, I think, a very cool concept for a doubles league starting in May.
Yeah, we tagged up with High Five Gear and Storm, and every bowler is going to get their choice of a High Five Gear pro-style jersey where they get their name, they get to pick a style out, the logos, whatever they want, and then or a Storm 3-ball tote, everyone gets a T-shirt. And then if you win the league, you get your choice of any Storm bowling ball that they manufacture plus some cash. So, yeah, in fact, Thursday, if that league in the summer runs for us Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and right now it's the 1st of March, and we only have 2 spots available on Thursday. So if anyone's interested, they need to get a hold of Castle Lanes pretty quick.
But see, for me, the coolest part about that deal is, because I talk about it on the Big Show all the time, the coolest part about that deal is you are in and out in an hour, Phil?
Right. It's, you know, 2-person teams, 3 games, an hour, and we're a pretty cool facility. So in the summer, I like to look at it like the hour that you look forward to. You come in, I don't care how nice it is outside, we're beautiful inside. You bowl, you're competitive, and you get on with your life, you know, like whatever else you want to do during the summer.
And then so, if you want to stay outside, you've got beach volleyball.
Exactly. And that is starting to fill up too also. So with that, we have a $275 fee that covers your whole season for your team. Everyone gets 6 Team Castle T-shirts. Every single team that signs up. And again, there are nights right now where spots are filling up on that.
That's awesome. Phil Anko, Castle Lanes. It is the best bowling house, in my opinion, that I've been to, especially inside. You got the log cabin feel, you got everything. There's just not anything else even remotely close to that in the area. The way the inside is done, the customer service is outstanding by you and your staff and everything. It's just, it's awesome. It's good stuff. Phil Anko, Castle Lanes in Racine. Go check him out. The wild side of bowling. Phil, thanks so much for coming on, buddy.
Thanks, you guys.
And get rid of that Lakers jersey and your nephew. All right. See you later, Phil.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There he is. Phil on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Are you looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. He is one of the best bowling proprietors I've ever come
across. Great ideas.
Yep. I mean, he just is. He gets it. He's reaching out, making partnerships with different people. And then you got a pro bowler who wants to come to your place.
Mm-hmm.
They reach out to you?
Yep. Yep. It's pretty awesome.
Come on.
He's hosted us for 10 years now at that Midwinter High School Classic. Whatever we need that day, he goes, I got it for you. It's beautiful.
It's one of the proprietors, I always say, that gets it.
Yes. Yep. Totally gets it. And if you have kids, they will absolutely love it. They do birthday parties. They do everything down there. You'll love it, too. A doubles league for an hour? And you get a jersey or a 3-ball tote bag?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on. He's Phil Brilo. He's Dwight Albrecht. Watch the PBA Tour today. Fox Sports 1, 4 o'clock Central today.
EJ.
You're saying EJ Tackett.
Saying EJ.
Duke.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see. I'm a gold Norm Duke, but watch. Phil be right again. Enjoy the rest of your day. CBS Sports Radio coming up next. We'll have to join it in progress because we're late. Have a good day. College basketball show at noon. Bye-bye. Getting loose, y'all.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.